Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome to Bruce Hall Sports, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Hey, thanks for that.
On AM 1230 WFS. Hey, I thought I'd give you a plug.
Go to BruceHallSports.com if you're ever out and about, not in your car, not next to your radio, not with your little telephone.
Well, you can do it all
now. I actually, Matt showed me last week how to listen to all kinds of stuff on my phone.
Yeah.
I'm 60. Oh, and by the way, on page 15 of the New York Post is a picture of Christy Brinkley. And she is drop-dead freaking gorgeous, and she just turned 60. And guess what? I'm 60, so Christy, I'm happily
you
married.
You don't look anything
I'm happily married.
Her,
yeah, I don't look like Christy Brinkley, thank God. So, I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody. That picture can't be this year.
A lot has happened this past week.
David
Stern steps down.
Let's not talk about him. No. That's Pace. Basketball.
No, we're not talking about basketball. Well, I'm just listing off what's happened this week.
All right, go ahead.
There's only one real thing we're talking about today, and that's the big game today.
Let me do 15 seconds on my favorite guy.
Can I say big game?
Yeah, okay. It's a big game. As far as I'm concerned, we can say anything we want.
We just can't.
No. We're fine. We just can't sell anything using that name.
Okay.
And that's true. And by the way, Bob Wolf, last weekend, I had more fun in 2 hours than I've ever had sitting next to anybody.
No offense. Thanks, Bruce.
No offense, Roy,
Appreciate
Matt.
That.
I mean, you know, but Bob Wolf is not only the classiest guy I think I've ever met that didn't know me, you know, and after 2 hours, I felt like he knew me very well, and I felt like I knew him very well. We had a lot of fun. He was there 6 hours. It was, we heard some of the greatest stories ever. And by the way, I did get his book Monday. You know, I asked for, if you ever send to Amazon.com or whoever the heck you buy books from and you ask for 1 day delivery, it never comes in 1 day. I found out it comes like in 2 days, and 2 days ended up being Monday, but I've read 2/3 of his book and there's not a better guy ever. And I want to thank Bob for doing that. I want to thank Bob for letting me sit next to him and talk to him and listen to his stories. That was a lot of fun. Now let's get into the Super Bowl. And I'd really like to know what Bob thinks about the Super Bowl. Hey, Bob, if you feel like calling in, by the way, give us a call at 240-317-7294. You can call in today if you can get through, but we're going to have probably going to have three or four of our...
You might get a lot kinda, of the busy.
Yeah, kind of regular callers. That call in beat writers. Tony Mazur, by the way, did some shtick the other night in Cleveland. He's coming on late. I got Russ Baxter coming on. I got Rick Snyder coming on. I've got about three other guys that I'm waiting to hear from. I decided
Pat's show today.
I was going to get Boach to call in today, and then late yesterday I decided that I'd wait till baseball season because this is Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm not selling it. So I can say it, but it is the big game. There's a great Phil Mushnick of the New York Post. Yeah, the New York Post.
There
I don't
you
know
go.
Why I can't. You know why I can't think of that? Because it's the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. But
I don't even
of the New York Post, Mushnick did a full page just shtick on. You know, he called him Joe Sunday. Not Joe Friday, and they did a Dragnet thing on busting people for using, you know, the name, and it was pretty funny actually. And if you saw the press conference mm-hmm. with Roger Goodell the other day, what a joke! He's not only clueless, and I'm going to say this, and don't get me wrong, I like the guy. He seems like a nice kid.
Do you? Like him though?
No, I do kind of like him personally. I just think that to make $20 million and be and not answer anybody's questions directly in something that was called a press conference, this little 10 or 11 year old kid asked him a phenomenal question. It was a little vague, but it was a great question. And everybody was waiting for the answer, and all Roger could do was you know, tell the kid how smart he was and how proud he was of him, and then go to the next question.
Great dodge.
Yeah, he's, in my opinion, I'll do the job. And listen, I'm not kidding. Anybody that knows me knows this. I could do the job of NFL commissioner much better than him, probably 5 to 10 times better than him. I could make changes that people would talk about for many years, and I'd do it for 1/10 to 1/20 of the salary. Take that money and give it to Wounded Warriors. Give that $19 million that I would donate to anything except for my pocketbook. I mean, just pay for my airfare, pay for my meals, you know, pay for my office.
You should get a petition going.
Well, you know what? We could definitely do
There's
that.
There's already a billion petitions aimed at
the NFL. And you're going to talk a little bit about petitions maybe if we get 30 seconds to a minute to talk about it. But there's a lot of people petitioning the NFL anyway because of that press conference that he didn't talk about anything. Yeah. Didn't talk about, you know, what happens to women. You know, because let's face it, there is a problem. Now, one of the problems that the NFL has is it's a very violent game. So you're going to have sometimes some pretty violent guys.
And they talk about that switch all the time.
Well, it's impossible to make the switch. Look, I was that, you know, I was that way in college because I wrestled and I played baseball. Luckily, very rarely do you ever get in a fight. Now, I got to say, I've been in baseball fights, and that doesn't come as a surprise to too. No, nobody's slapping Matt. That would be the soccer fights. The soccer guys are the guys just that fall down and act like they've just broken their leg and they haven't done anything.
They flop. Yeah,
soccer is no, just baseball, one hit and then both of them fall.
Let me tell you, baseball fights, if they are fights, end up being pretty good fights. Now, in the major leagues, nobody wants to fight because they make too much money.
Headlocks.
And if they break their hand, they're out. You know, they're out for a long time. They may never come back. Somebody might be in there for them. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. A lot of great stuff happened this week. David Stern is stepping down. David, great job. You turned a piece of crap league into a multi-billion dollar organization. And even though I don't like you personally, I think you're kind of a, can I say prick on the air? Anyway, I think that's okay. But anyway, even though I don't like you personally, and I've known some people that have been around you, And you said F you to Mike Wise. You know, Mike Wise is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in your life. And you F you'd Mike Wise. Now, I got to tell you, Mike Wise wrote a great piece on you and gave you a lot of credit this week. So you need to buy Mike Wise dinner the next time you see him.
Well, he took the
You can even, like, see him because he's about 3 feet taller than you.
The average salary when he took over the commissioner job was $200,000. And now today, when he's stepping down, it's $5.15 million. So he did a little bit for the game. Expanded it, you know, worldwide. It's in China. We see European players going in the top five pretty much every year in the draft. He commissioned them through the golden age. So good for you, Stern. And, hopefully your next gig isn't stand up because you completely dropped the ball on that late night.
Yeah, we're doing this. I'm going to be doing some stuff by memory here today. And I'm really excited about
by
that.
By memory?
Yeah, because, we're screwed, you know, Matt gives me my reads. And of course, I've got about, I don't know.
Do you know it?
10,000 pieces of paper here because we got so much to talk about. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall.
3 years he got it.
That's Roy Edwards. That's Matt Lynch. We'll be back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome to Bruce Hall Sports. I've got a good friend of mine and a great beat writer, Jess Root. Jess, you on there? Jess is from Arizona. Thanks for coming on the show, Jess. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on again today, Bruce.
Well, listen, it's tough when you're in Arizona. As a matter of fact, I was trying to book my hell, you may even get a call from me. You may have to put me in your garage here if I can't find a place here in about 3 or 4 weeks for spring training. It was Jess is out in the Phoenix area, does a great job with not only the Arizona Cardinals, but with the D-backs. And you were with SB Nation, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes.
And you can follow him on Twitter at Senor, S-E-N-O-R, without the N-Y, Jess, J-E-S-S, Root. And, Jess, I go back and forth. You know how I use Twitter. I use it as a communication device. I talk on Twitter, especially to guys like you, because you do the same thing. You get right back to people, and they're like, oh, I like this guy. He just answered my question. But let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl matchup. Obviously, I want your intel, because you guys played them twice this year. You always play them twice every year. And this year, not only did you beat them, but you beat them up there. And that's something that's almost impossible to do. I saw that game.
Only team since Russell Wilson has become the quarterback.
Yep. And I saw that game on TV. And, you know, it wasn't a perfectly played game by the Cardinals either. Tell me what you saw in that game that led you to believe that this Seattle team is beatable.
Well, first and foremost, And now, down the stretch of the season, Seattle used a game plan of, okay, we've got a great running game, we've got a great defense, we're going to ride that. The Cardinals stopped their run. They build everything off their run. They built the play action. So Russell Wilson hasn't been playing fantastic down the stretch. And so the Cardinals took advantage of that. They stopped Marshawn Lynch. And when that happened, it forced Russell Wilson to have to make plays. And I'll give you this. Arizona's defense was fantastic all season, number one against the run. Mm-hmm. But what was more impressive is that Arizona's offense wasn't fantastic. They turned the ball over four times. Carson Palmer threw four interceptions in that game, and they still pulled that game out because of how they played defensively. If Denver looked at all at that game film, they have to stack up against Marshawn Lynch and force Russell Wilson to make plays.
Did you feel that the Arizona defense did put an extra man or two in the box at times? I mean, did it seem like on first down, most of the time, if I recall in that game, they did run the ball on first down quite a bit, Seattle did.
And Arizona didn't, that's one thing, they didn't have to put an extra guy in the box because their front seven has been so good all season against the run. So they didn't have to do anything extra with their front seven, which I'm wondering what Denver is now, again, understated, an untold kind of story of this of the week has been the fact that Denver's rush defense is really good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it absolutely is. And the one thing that you do, you know, it's like basketball, very similar to basketball. A lot of college and professional basketball teams, you know, lose a lot of respect sometimes with numbers because, you know, their defense goes by how many points they give up, how many yards they give up. Well, when you're moving the football like the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning do, and you're scoring as many points, obviously they set a record scoring points this year, you know, you're going to be giving the ball back to the other team a lot more than most other teams do anyway. So it makes your defense look worse numbers-wise, even though in reality it's not. And I totally agree with you. I think that they've got the deep. Now, they don't have Arizona's defense. There's no question.
No, no, no.
And they also have a couple of very good players out. Now, you guys lost a couple of good players, too. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, you're real good. What was the rookie kid's name from LSU you had that was so good?
Honey Badger.
Yeah.
Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, he was out, I think, for that last game, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you were down a couple of guys also. I just think that here's what I see happening, and you tell me if I'm wrong. You know, if Seattle can't score 24 points in this game, I think it's going to be a long day for Seattle because I think they're going to have to score 27 to 34 points to win the game. That's just me because I don't see that Seattle defense with the deep three zone that they use shutting Peyton down. He's going to have too much between the numbers to hit. What do you think? Do you think that they can work between the numbers on Seattle?
You know, I think that's what's going to happen. And Peyton Manning, especially when kind of the key to defeating Peyton Manning is to confuse and to give him lots of different looks so that he can't pick you apart. And Seattle runs that defensive scheme almost exclusively. He's going to find matchups. He's going to find issues, and he's going to move the ball down the field. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be a blowout, but I do think that their offense, that the Denver offense, is going to put up enough points, and they're going to hold them to a couple of field goals on a couple of the drives. But I think it will be Denver it could go either way. I see this game going either way, but if Denver, especially Denver, puts up a touchdown or puts up a few points early, it will put Seattle in a tough hole because of the way they run their offense.
A lot of people are pointing to actually the run game of Denver to be the biggest or one of the biggest splashes today, and Knowshon Moreno pointing to him as a true game changer for Denver. How much of a role do you think Knowshon Moreno plays in today's game?
Well, I think the type of game that they have is quite key, because they use him in the running game quite effectively. And what they do with their backs is they will chip and release them in the passing game. And so not only will he, the running game is not going to be, I mean, Seattle's defense is really good. So they won't see huge gains, I don't think, by Moreno, but I think just a few up the middle plays, and then I think he'll make more plays in the passing game off those released up after the chip blocks.
You know, Ball, their backup running back, does a pretty good job too. He's gotten better, it seems, as the year has gone by. And I like what you said about them chipping. The Denver offense, I can't remember who it was, but, you know, there's been so many people talking about what Denver does well. And the one thing that they do, they talk about, well, they protect Peyton Manning. You know, he never goes down. He 90% of the time, maybe 95% of the time, Jess, he's taking a three-step drop. I mean, that they do it on purpose. He doesn't need a 5 or 7-step drop, and he doesn't need a lot of extra time. He can read through his progression in a big hurry. He even knows where he's going anyway, most of the time just looking at the defense when the ball is snapped. I think it's going to be real interesting. The one thing I found very interesting is what I heard this week was that the only time they usually run the ball is when he checks down to the run at the line of scrimmage. They very rarely ever call a run. Almost everything they call, that Peyton calls, is like one or two passing plays. And he'll go through all that. Yeah, I mean, do you see that too? Did you see that when you guys played them?
Well, and that's one thing with Manning. I know for a fact that they go to the line of scrimmage with like two or three plays as an option every single time, and he checks into whichever one the defense is whatever look they see defensively. I like Denver in this game. For me, what it comes down to is I think, well, Denver's offense will be a little bit better, and I think that the Denver defense will shut down the running game just enough. I think what the key ends up being is the youth of Russell Wilson. Now, he's been a gamer thus far in his young career, but we've seen in the biggest stage before, how many times have we seen in the biggest stage a young quarterback, and outside of Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger early in their careers, you see with jitters. And Russell Wilson's been a little bit erratic the past few weeks, and I think that's going to be the key.
Yeah,
that the youth will come into play.
Yeah, late in the season I saw that too, but you know what? It's almost like I'm not a real big fan of his offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel. I really don't like Bevel. First of all, when they roll him out, have you seen how deep he rolls out? I don't understand why he's 15 yards deep when he runs a rollout.
He did that a lot at Wisconsin,
too. Yeah, but it's too deep, and maybe they do that because they are being so conservative. They don't want him going down at all. They want him to be able to get rid of the ball. But he has thrown an inordinate number and a high number of intentional groundings, too, at the same time. When you guys got to talk to beat writers for the Cardinals, got to talk to Arians, did he mention anything about the defense trying to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket? Was it that big a deal, or do they just think he's going to get out anyway?
You know, in that game, he didn't actually talk about that much. I mean, they talk about keeping contained, keep the outside contained, but they didn't have, like they've had another, they didn't have anyone spying on Wilson in particular, but he does break free. They just had to be disciplined in their gap assignments to avoid the broken down play, which they had a couple of, but they're going to have those with Wilson no matter what.
Right, right. All right, now here comes the tough one, Jess. You're the first guy to tell me what you think the score is going to be and who's going to win today.
Well, I like Denver. Like I said, I think it's going to they're going to end up with a couple of field goals. So I think they're going to have their chances to score. They'll move the ball a little bit. I'm picking a Denver 27-21 over Seattle.
Yeah, Roy just said when he came in here that was pretty much what he had. I think I have Denver 31, Seattle 23. What I think is going to happen is I think Denver goes out early and starts scoring some points. Now, here's the only thing that scares me. What really scares me about this is 70% of the dollars are on Denver right now. Yeah. That's why the line went to -2.5. I like the hedge with the over. And the reason I like the hedge with the over is if I pick Denver and they don't cover, then Seattle's going to have to score some points. And yeah. I think that if that happens on a pretty day, which is pretty much what it's going to be like up there compared to what they're used to, and it's the Super Bowl, so they want scoring, I see the winner getting over 30 points. So I like Denver like you do, and I like the over also. How do you feel about the totals? Do you think that there'll be some?
Well, Jess picked the push. He picked the rare push.
Yeah, well, you've got the exact scores that you've got. You got the 48 total. Hey, listen, Jess.
Yes, sir.
Jess Root, SB Nation. What's the name of your Cardinal blog? Revenge of the Birds.
Revenge of the Birds.
Revenge of the Birds. Phenomenal. Look forward to seeing you in about 3 or 4 weeks out at spring training.
Thanks, Jess. Enjoy the game, bud.
Thanks, Jess. We'll see you later.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
We'll be back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion in just a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So the first pick is in, and it is the Denver Broncos 27, Seattle 21 from Jess Root of Revenge of the Birds. He likes Denver. And our next guest, who will be joining us next segment, Russell Baxter, I'm sure he will have an interesting take on the game. I know he doesn't see as many touchdowns scored as Senor Root out in Arizona. Bruce, this game, there is a billion different things you can bet on in this game. One of which is the score.
run down them, and I'm going to get going as fast as I can. Because you know Russ, as soon as we get into this segment, me and you, he'll call in.
He will.
So, I love Russell Baxter.
Something
by the way.
Tells me we're going to tease this list multiple times.
We may not get this list ever done. I don't know. We may have to do the list with Tony last segment. I mean, Tony Mazur, who's doing stand up comedy now in Cleveland.
Here he is. But, okay.
Hey, Russ, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Russ, we were just getting ready to, we were teasing everybody about all the picks they could make for all the different betting lines on everything from, you know, how many times marijuana is said to whatever.
If the woman's going to wear gloves during the national anthem.
But I know you. You're prepared and you're ready to just kick our butt with this segment. Tell me what we need to know before we even think about playing this game.
So wait a minute, you're telling me that there's a prop bet between TOP, time of possession,
right?
Right.
Yep.
And POT?
Yeah, POT, exactly. Weed. You know, they didn't even say that. You know, we have a studio audience today, which is a good thing.
Wow, that's cool. Is that leftover from Happy Days or The Odd Couple?
Both, actually.
The Odd Couple, because that's what we are, Russ. Yeah. Russ, I've actually heard you on a couple of shows this week. I get around from time to time, and I love what you do, Russell. Tell everybody how they can follow you, how they get to you, and you know where you can be found 99.9% of the time.
Well, Twitter is something I really, really enjoy because the interaction with people is great, and it's Bax Football Guru. ProFootballGuru.com is my website, in which everything I write for all the people who will have me all over the country, which I'm, you know, very proud to say Yahoo Sports and Post Game Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts, NFL Female, The Football Girl, Pro Player Insiders. You know, if I love football, and I've had a great opportunity to just express that with my writing and my radio appearances. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Facebook person, there's Pro Football Guru, the Facebook page. We don't have Pro Football Guru, the detergent, yet.
Well, that's coming, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is coming. Right now, it's a wash. So
that's good, too.
Hey, Russ.
You got jokes this morning.
Russ, I already know, I think, unless you've changed. Of course, was it you that told me? No, it wasn't you. It was somebody else that told me to just make a pick and stick with it. But I can't pick, usually, until the day of a football game because weather, because of injuries, you know, late scratches, all that. Tell everybody right now what are the reasons behind your pick, and then let us know what your pick is.
Yeah, well, no, for the Super Bowl, I think that you get an idea early in the week. Now, something unforeseen happens. I think you have to, you know, do an adjustment. I mean, someone gets hurt in a practice on Thursday or Friday. You know, that obviously could change things. But my pick since early in the week, this is not done for effect, but it's Denver 18, Seattle 14. I like the Broncos to move the football and once again win the time of possession, which they have done throughout their two playoff games. But I don't have them scoring a touchdown. I actually have them settling for field goals. And that doesn't mean Matt Prater is going to be the MVP. I just think Seattle will rise up and do what it has to do in that regard. But the whole idea of what Denver has done in the playoffs, they've changed what they were doing earlier in the season in terms of offensively. Offensively, they were a juggernaut this year throughout most of the year. We know what they did point-wise. But in order to protect that defense, and you guys have seen their defense, even in limited times that San Diego and New England had it in the playoffs, they made the games interesting, mm-hmm. okay, because they could move the ball against that defense. And the more they can keep that defense off the field, I think it's better it is. And that's why I'm picking it the way I'm picking it. I'm looking at maybe Denver having the ball maybe 36, 38 minutes again and winning the game 18-14 without the benefit of the touchdown. And only once in 47 previous Super Bowls has a team not scored a touchdown.
Well, I think, Russ, for the most part, I've already jinxed myself because I had a very average year in calling games in the National Handicappers Bowl. That's nhbowl.com that monitors my service. I was just over 50% in 53.8% in picks. But in the playoffs, since the playoffs started, I'm 10-1-1. And I'm afraid to pick today, but I've already picked. And the one thing, I agree with you. I think Denver is going to not only win but cover. Because I think you know what? I've become, in my old age, I might be older than you, but I'm pretty sure I am. But if I'm not, because you sound a lot younger than me. Roy said that you came on somebody's...
Pete Mundo.
Pete Mundo's show earlier this week. He said, I've never heard Russ so calm. And I said, Russ is working 20 hours a day right now. It's Super Bowl. But the thing of it
you
is...
Know what? Wait a minute. Let's hash this out. I'm a numbers guy.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 60. I just turned 60.
Okay, well, you are older than me, but I'm 54.
You know what? Yeah, but I gotta tell you something, though. When I talk to you, you have so much experience, and you've been doing this so long. There isn't really anybody I talk to that I respect their opinion more than you because you've looked at every side of this. Let me tell you this: Denver's going to score. They can't turn the ball over. We all know that. The last thing that they need to do is turn the ball over, especially in the red zone. If they go down the length of the field and do what they can do, which is throw the ball between the numbers, not fumble the ball, run when it looks like. They have to run when they need to run, but they don't need to run at all. They can just throw these little crossing patterns to the tight end, to Wes Welker. They can keep the deep threat going. And on defense, they've got to be consistent, and they can't let anybody get behind them. You know, the Seattle's games where they look like they really take charge to me, Russ, are the games where they score long touchdowns. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean because what they do is they break your heart with those touchdowns. Yeah. They look like they're totally getting outplayed in a game, and then Russell Wilson will make a big play to Golden Tate, or Marshawn Lynch will break off a long run. You go back. I go back to a Monday night when they played the Rams, and I think Russell Wilson was sacked 7 times, and they gave up over 200 yards rushing at St. Louis. But he hit Golden Tate a couple of times, and they won the game like 14-9 because they held the Rams out of the end zone. And that has been the calling card of the Seattle Seahawks and shows what how different a team they were this year than they were last year. Last year, at one time, they were a 6-5 football team, couldn't win on the road except for one game early in the season at Carolina.
Right.
This year, they play poorly at times on the road and still manage to win those games. So they've learned things. And the one thing that Pete Carroll has done all year, and it was kind of picking up from last year, was he really had his team with their foot on the pedal all year.
Right.
All year. And even in the preseason when they went undefeated in the preseason. So preseason is what it is, okay? But I'll just say for the sake of, we'll count it just in this instance, because I'm making a point about the mental aspect, not the numbers aspect, okay?
Right.
So go back to late last year when they won their last 5 regular season games and then split in the playoffs. So that's 6-1, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now go back to the preseason, 10-1.
Right.
Go back to this year, okay, include the playoffs, 15-3. So what does that make them, 25-4?
Yeah,
in the last 29 times they've taken the field.
Yeah, they're pretty good. You know what?
Yeah, but I mean, it's more than just being pretty good. And here's a stat that people don't realize, and this one doesn't include the preseason, but it includes the postseason. Since the beginning of last year, the Seattle Seahawks, including the playoffs, have lost a total of 9 games. Okay. I'm not trying to stress the negative.
The Redskins lost 10 in a row this year, didn't they?
the last 8, But here's the thing about it. Those 9 losses, none of them by more than 7 points.
They're in every game.
2 years. Yeah. In 2 years. This isn't a year. I mean, they have had their foot on the pedal for a long time. If they win today, it actually climaxes a great 2-year run by this team more than anything else.
You know, look at Matt Prater. They have a kicker that's on fire, too. This guy's missed 1 kick this year. Now, he had the flu all of last week, and I think he's fine now. And the way things are, generally speaking, most athletes, when they get sick, that somehow they play better than they normally do. I don't expect either kicker in this game. Hauschka is phenomenal. There's some great stories on Hauschka, how he got involved. Did you know that Hauschka, and I know you know this, but Hauschka and Russell Wilson were on the same dormitory floor at North Carolina State the same year? I mean, these guys knew each other several years ago, you know, before NC State, before O'Brien sent Russell Wilson packing because he wouldn't let him play baseball.
Well, I will say this. I don't know if the win is going to be a factor today. That's the one thing we're not sure of. But these two kickers kick balls that cut through the wind. So I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be much of a factor. Matt Prater obviously gets a little boost from playing in Denver, but he also has a big leg. And Hauschka, before he became a regular place kicker, used to be the kickoff specialist.
Right.
Okay. At times. So, I mean, he always had a big leg. Accuracy was the problem early in his career, not any longer. So I think the kicking – now, the special teams are a different thing in terms of returns. But the kicking games I don't think are going to be affected unless the wind is severe.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing that you do see – and Prater generally drives the ball even when he's not in Denver because I've seen them play. And you know, yeah. Denver is a veteran team. Seattle plays like a veteran team. Both of these teams play well on the road. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, in baseball and football, I don't even look at home records a lot of times. I'll look at their away records, and a lot of times that's how I find the teams that are the better teams. Because
listen, they were both 13-3 during the regular season. They were both 7-1 at home. They were both 6-2 on the road. I mean, there's so much, you know, they play in different conferences, but there's a lot of maybe style-wise, they're not the same, but at this time of the season, Denver's style is much more like Seattle's than it certainly was early in the year, especially offensively. Defensively, unfortunately, there's no comparison between the two teams.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're talking to Russell Baxter. Russ, I can't thank you enough for calling in. You, as usual, you do a phenomenal job. Where are you going to watch the game today? Are you at home?
I am in Manhattan.
Are you really? You're downtown,
yes,
I've been
in Manhattan since Thursday, catching up with old friends, doing a little radio row.
Right.
You know, putting some names, faces with the names that I've been doing some shows with for the last couple of years, and it was great, and seeing some old friends who I used to work with. But I wanted to be down here at least close to New York. Mm-hmm. I will not be at the game today. I've got, you know, far too many things to do. Unfortunately, when you take the train to the plane and, you know,
trying to get
into the press box and stuff, you just kind of get deterred from your work. You know, if I was just covering the game, it would be different.
Russell, the next time I come to New York, I'm going to rent a car and I'm going to come up and I'm going to visit you, okay, buddy? Because I want to put
Russ.
A face.
Now, wait a minute. If you rent a car, now I'm allowed to get in one of the seats. You're not putting me in that. Never mind.
Russell, enjoy the game, Russ.
Yeah, enjoy the game, Russ, and thanks so much for your insight. Russell Baxter.
Take the cannolis, okay?
You got it, buddy. Hey, let me tell you, I feel a lot better now that he likes Denver, too. We'll be back.
That's two.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm a realtor. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
All right, and we're back here. Hashtag Blue.
tell everybody what we're getting ready to do, Roy.
Yeah, okay, so
we're gonna have some fun.
We like to cover a lot of odds play around here. Obviously, we cover against the spread every week through the NFL. We cover all the games. We cover the under over under. But Super Bowl brings a whole new light to this handicapper world, so to speak, where you can literally. And I say that as Chris from Parks and Rec, you can literally bet on every single aspect of this football game.
I wish I was at the MGM right now because I would play every game, probably a dollar for every game. For every pick, I mean.
Yeah. Don't tell your wives that we're telling you
all these
things.
No, we're not telling you to do this.
And if you miss rent this month, it's not our fault.
And if you have rent, you shouldn't be betting anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And we don't really, you know, condone gambling.
No, we don't.
Bruce Hall has an inside line on whether Aaron Andrews is going to wear the gloves.
I've always given advice. I compete in the National Handicappers Bowl. This is two mentions, by the way, at nhbowl.com. If you go to nhbowl.com, you'll see who's hot. It's Bruce Hall Sports in totals and in straight plays for the entire playoff season. People, I'm 10-1-1. Hello? 10
bad.
Wins, 1 loss, 1 push. Okay? And I'll probably lose 2 now that I've jinxed myself. Yeah. Knock on wood. Anytime you make a stupid statement like that, you got to knock on wood, people. Always. All right, Roy, go.
We can skip. We're going to go rapid fire.
We're going to rapid fire these.
But we're going to go ahead and skip the first two because.
Do we want them to hashtag? We're going to hashtag BH Sports.
If you guys want to talk about any of these lines, any of these plays, if you agree with any of them,
if
yes,
you got some
no.
inside lines,
if you got some inside information, hashtag BH Sports for this conversation piece.
And
we'll get you in. Or you can mention Bruce Hall Sports or mention I'm at Sportsman Cave on Twitter. Mention us with your picks as well. We'll make sure we get
you on the air. Absolutely, without a doubt. We need you guys calling in. Look, we know a lot of people listen, okay, because we know that. Call in. Don't be shy. Just give us a call, 240-317-7294 anytime, okay? And listen, if we've got a guy calling in, we'll get you off the air. Don't worry about it. We'll put you on hold. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Roy, go.
All right, so the first one, we're going to skip this. Will it snow during...
No, it's not snow. Don't
will
do that.
Will it snow during the game? We're going to go ahead and say no.
No, it's not. Go.
What will be the temperature at kickoff, over under 32 degrees?
I say 40 degrees.
I'm going to say over as well. I think it's going to be more 50. Super Bowl... what will be the lowest temperature during the game? Over under 28.
I'm gonna say 29 because it's gonna be 11 something when this game
when
is
the sun
over.
Goes down. Yeah.
So it's gonna be late.
I'll take the over on that as well. Will the power go out?
No.
25-1 odds.
Is that is that all it is? 25-1?
Some guy made $1.3 billion last year.
Yeah, but can I tell you what? That play, if you've got the dough and you can get them to take it, $100,000 on no, it won't go out. I guarantee you it doesn't go out. But how many people are going to play that for that much money?
How long will it take Renee Fleming to sing the U.S. National Anthem? 2 minutes and 25 seconds is the over-under. There.
Under. Without a doubt. She's an opera singer. She's not going to screw around, and she's not going to...
I hope you're right. I'm hoping for
no, the it'll better. Be under. It'll be under.
It's I hate the butcher in the National
No, it's gonna. She's an opera singer, and she's got one of the most beautiful voices in the world. She's going to sing it right, and she is going to pronounce everything
but
correctly.
She knows drama. She makes pause for effect.
I hope not. I hate when
Go.
People draw that out.
Keep going.
Will she forget or omit at least one word of the National Anthem?
No.
Yes, +200. No, -300.
I say no.
I don't think she'll miss it.
No, she won't.
Will she wear gloves during the National Anthem?
Absolutely.
Yes, -200. No, +150.
Yes, absolutely.
If she wears gloves, white, black, red, or any other color, with white being the favorite at 5-4.
It's got to be white. Got to be white because she's an opera singer. She's not going to wear black. It's not a funeral.
Bruce seems to know a lot about opera.
I'll go with white, too.
I like.
Well, he has been married for quite a while.
So. I like opera.
Big on the
opera. I've never been to an opera.
Here's the big question, which I wanted to ask Russ.
Tommy, I've been to Tommy.
I've never seen
Tommy. That. Can you hear me? Go.
Will No-Shawn Moreno cry during the
Yes, he's gonna bawl like a baby.
Yes is +400.
I'm taking yes.
That's a good play.
Yeah,
because he cries pretty much every night.
Oh, I'm taking yes.
Put it this way: if he doesn't cry during this National Anthem, something's up.
Yep.
How many times will Archie Manning be shown on TV? Over under 2.5.
This is easy. Over.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty easy.
You know why his is so low? He hides.
He's a good hider.
Keep going.
He's Waldo.
Olivia is beautiful, by
How
the way.
How many times
wife.
Will Eli be shown? Over under 3.
Too many.
3.5 is the over.
Over. Big time.
I think he'll be shown over if the Broncos are winning. This is going to go way over.
Well, I'm look, that's it. I'm not hedging on these plays. Yeah. I'm going all in. Go.
What will be said more times in the game in reference to the Broncos being the number one offense or best offense, or in reference to Seattle Seahawks being the number one defense?
Seahawks defense. Seahawks defense.
I agree.
Yep.
Which coach will be mentioned first after kickoff, Pete Carroll or John Fox?
Pete Carroll, because he's going to be in there huffing and puffing and jumping up and down with his boys.
See, this is where I disagree.
But you're a soccer guy.
Can I make this?
We really don't care what you think.
This is my
great cash, homie.
Oh, yeah?
My straight cash.
All right, well, that's
John
good.
John Fox. I can see it going another way. John Fox has been to a Super Bowl before. You could show that, or maybe he's just in the shot with Peyton Manning. Who will be seen on TV first after kickoff, Aaron Andrews or Pam Oliver?
Got to be Aaron Andrews. And they, if you notice, they always show – I love Pam. And by the way, she is the best person on this entire crew. The rest of them suck. And I'm not – Troy Aikman, I'm so tired of him. I just can't believe Troy Aikman is their number one guy on Fox. If he's your number one guy, Fox, get with it, okay? Just get with it.
Isn't Joe Buck going to be there?
Joe Buck is a baseball guy. Joe Buck is better off on the streets doing his shtick. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is pretty good. How many times will the 12th man be referenced during the game? 2.5 is the over-under.
Over. Not without question. They may go over before kickoff because what we're hearing right now is it's 5-1.
Well, this is during the game, so it has to be
it doesn't
after,
matter.
After kickoff.
It'll be after kickoff, but it's 5-1, and I think what you're going to hear from these people, that might be a lock of the century. What did you say it was, 2.5?
2.5.
It's over because it's going to be so loud when Denver has the ball, and they're going to continually say, the 12th man has arrived. The 12th man is here.
Is that
the 12th man, pay Bruce Hall.
Is that your straight
is
cash?
Is that your straight?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash.
Absolutely.
There it is.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, take that play if you get it.
How many times will beast mode be referenced during the game? Over under here is 2.
I'd say over.
This is my lock.
It's got to be over.
The beast mode is going to be mentioned every
other. These are easy numbers.
Every other drive.
Well, you know why they're saying that? Troy isn't the kind of guy who even says beast mode.
Joe Buck is.
Yeah.
Joe Buck's that
Yeah, like
guy.
This. Beast mode.
Can you do a teaser with Skittles?
No, Skittles. Hey, by the way, they had Skittles on the airplane for everybody who came from Seattle.
Well, he's Skittles are the official sponsor of
Skittles paid
of Marshawn Lynch now.
Skittles
finally.
Is paying his fine, too.
$10,000 for every touchdown Marshawn Lynch scores today, Skittles going to donate to his charity.
You know, I would eat Skittles, except they would just rip my teeth out. The ones that are broken.
I'm not a big Skittles guy.
Go, keep going.
How many times? This is a good one. And by good, I mean how many...
We mean better than bad.
This is way overplayed. How many times will Peyton Manning say Omaha during the game?
Oh, like 114.
And it has to be...
114. What's the over-under?
It has to be Peyton. It can't be Fox running some crazy thing. What's the 27 and
a half. Oh, it's over easy. He'll do that the first series.
First drive, right?
Omaha! So, green, blue, 37!
Right now,
53 is the mic. 53 is the mic. Omaha.
Yesterday, Peyton was in Las Vegas with a mustache, a fake mustache, taking that bet, and he's just going to run it up.
27 and a half. That's a joke.
You know, it's got to go over.
It has to go over.
What if he doesn't mention Omaha? Is there a zero on there?
What if he doesn't say Omaha once?
What if he just says Omaha,
Nebraska?
Eli Buick, DirecTV, Papa John. Will the announcer say the word marijuana during the game?
Oh, hell yes.
Yes, plus 550. That's a good play.
Did you see the T-shirt on Twitter? You'll get to see it in a little while. There's a logo that has Seahawks, and it's pretty funny. Go ahead.
Is there one for Sticky Icky?
Didn't you say it was one? The over-under was zero?
Yes is plus 550. No is minus 900.
Absolutely yes. Play 100 on that. You'll get your 550.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, will any member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers be shirtless?
Yeah, Matt already covered that one. That should be your straight cash, homie.
All right.
Do it.
Straight cash, homie.
Yeah, Flea. Flea already said that he was going to come out. Didn't he tweet something like, he wants to see my genitals or something like that?
It's going to be 42 degrees.
That's just an everyday tweet.
That's warm, right? It's toasty up there compared to the way it's been.
Will the halftime show break the record for most people watched ever? The record is 114 million views by Madonna.
Yes. Yes. Bruno Mars is a lot more. Madonna needs to have her teeth fixed. Did you see that picture of her this week? She looks like she's 90 years old. What does she smoke, crack or
something?
She's
a weird individual.
Yeah, she must smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. Her teeth look like somebody hit her in the mouth.
Bruno and Red Hot Chili Peppers, will they be on the stage at the same time?
Yes. Yes. No, yes, absolutely.
Yes, minus 200. No, plus 150.
Yes,
will
they are.
Someone question why Bruno Mars has top billing over Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Well, we don't care. Yeah. Next question.
Which song will Bruno Mars perform first? I don't know. Well, I know Grenade. But Treasure is the top dog at 2-1. Grenade, 5-2. Locked Out of Heaven, 3-1. Just the Way You Are, 6-1. Marry You, 7-1. The Lazy Song, 10-1. Gorilla, 10-1.
I don't even know what Bruno Mars' song
is. I don't
say.
Know any of these.
I want Led Zeppelin to do it next year. Go ahead.
I'll
keep going.
I'll say Grenade, just because that's probably the only one I know on there. What will Bruno Mars be wearing on his head? Fedora, no hat, fur hat, or 2K?
He's going to have Russell's jersey. And by the way, Russell's jersey is number one in the United States now.
I didn't know that.
Robert Griffin dropped to like 17 or something.
Getting into penalties and actual game performances past the
right,
half.
Go,
we're
go,
past
go.
Halftime now.
It's going to go over because look who's doing it, Terry McCauley.
Will Richard Sherman receive a taunting penalty during the game?
What is it, minus 200?
Yes, plus 400, no, minus 7.
I'd say yes.
100.
I'm going to say yes.
I think he will, too.
I think he will, because I think they'll either be up 10 or down 10, and he'll do something stupid.
Will he receive a unnecessary roughness penalty, plus 550?
No,
yes.
No.
No is minus 900. So
no.
I think you're safe there, but I wouldn't take that line.
Keep going.
Will Richard Sherman receive a pass interference penalty?
Yes.
Yes, plus 150. I think he will, too.
Absolutely, because he's all over the guys anyway, and they're looking for it. Plus, it's Peyton's place. Ooh, I like that. Go.
Will Richard Sherman be interviewed on field after the game by Aaron Andrews on Fox broadcast?
Absolutely not, because they're going to lose. Wait. I had to knock on wood. They're going to lose, and he's not going to be interviewed until he gets to the locker room.
If they do win and they get and Aaron Andrews gets it, do you think that he's going to yell at her again?
I think she's going to pull her shirt up. I think she's just going to pull her shirt up.
Will Michael Crabtree mention Richard Sherman in a tweet during the Super Bowl?
Yes, because he's an idiot. What is the yes there?
Yes, plus 150.
Oh, yeah. That's like almost even.
That's almost that. I mean.
Yeah, I say yes. I'd take that. Go.
Here's one that will haunt Tom Brady. Will Wes Welker drop a pass this game?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Probably in the first quarter.
Will any player receive a penalty for excessive celebration?
No.
And here's a big one. If the Broncos win, there's pages of this stuff, but this is a big
one.
I
love it!
If the Broncos win, will Peyton Manning retire?
We'll be back in a minute with that answer on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
To win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we teased whether or not we thought Peyton Manning was going to retire before the
It's not going to happen. There's no way.
That wasn't much of a tease.
You don't retire when you set the record. No. You don't retire when you set the record.
He came out and he said that he feels like he has a lot of football in him, too.
By the way, a big shout-out to Jamie Dukes.
Let me
finish this.
Okay. I'll let you finish it.
I hate to see what you're going to be like when you're my age.
I'll let you finish this time.
Jamie Dukes was all over everything, especially about and we had several guys that are going into the Hall of Fame.
It was announced.
And a couple of people that aren't going in. Marvin Harrison isn't going in, which I think is ridiculous.
He'll
get in eventually. Some people think it's because of some things that have happened behind the scenes that weren't so good.
Wasn't he tied to like a
shooting?
Yeah,
yeah, it was
couple
a killing.
Shootings,
it was
right?
a killing or
yeah.
something, evidently.
They got a car wash.
And then we never heard anything about it. But you know what I mean? If that's the case, Ray Lewis won't go in the first ballot. I mean, for crying out loud, we've already been over that a million times. I like the way you shut up about that.
I just don't agree.
Yeah, all he did was buy them the knife that killed him the day before. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Baltimore will be back probably in the Super Bowl in 1 or 2 years. But you know what? Seattle's going to be there for a while, I think. I think in the National Football Conference, I think this team is going to be there.
So you think Baltimore has a shot at getting back to...
In a couple of years, yeah,
huh,
I do.
Interesting.
You see who they picked up. I mean, they picked up...
Gary Kubiak?
Yeah, I mean, and I like every move they make administratively. Mm-hmm. They really do a good job. And if anybody – and by the way, Kubiak made Matt Schaub look pretty damn good. And Matt Schaub is far from a Hall of Fame quarterback. So he should help Flacco. And Flacco, he needs another receiver or two.
Yeah.
He needs to get a healthy Dennis Pitta back. He needs an offensive line
absolutely
to move around. They're going to probably lose Michael Oher. Let's not talk about them. I don't know how I got off on those guys. Go keep going through your things, and if you want, we can talk about more of those. The other thing that we could talk about at the same time we're talking about this is how close everybody was in on the Peyton Manning re-signing 2 years ago. Everybody wanted him. You remember he was taking his tour around the country, and he is not that kind of guy. You know, he's not the kind of guy that really likes the limelight. He really does, and he does a good job with it. What are you doing, bouncing your thing off your head
this
over
table
there?
This table is unlit.
It's wooden. I love this table. It's big. It's the biggest table I've ever seen. But anyway, actually, Seattle and John Schneider, the general manager, I just wish teams that I root for, like the Washington Redskins, would see what the Seattle Seahawks actually do with their general manager job, where this guy came from. The Redskins actually had Schneider as a scout, and they let him go. They fired him. I guess he was involved way back when...
He probably didn't want Deion Sanders or Bruce Smith or Jeff George or Adam Marcelletto or...
But this is a guy, yeah. This is a guy that has made some great decisions with Pete Carroll over the past 2 or 3 years. Yeah. And look what they got. They're spending virtually no money on some of the greatest players in the game right now.
We talked about this before the show where,
yeah,
Pete Carroll, he has such, I don't want to say an advantage, but yeah, he has such an advantage that a lot of these players are West Coast guys. Some of the best football, we talked about this, some of the best football at the collegiate level, and that's now becoming that next level sport, is in the Pac-12. So the East Coast teams... The East Coast teams don't get to see these Pac-12 guys and these West Coast guys as much as Pete Carroll does. So Pete Carroll gets, you know, his fullback was a UCLA guy. We all know that now because of Duracell commercial. You know, Russell Wilson played, well, he was at Wisconsin and NC State for 3 years, but he was recruited by Pete Carroll. Who else? Marshawn Lynch. I mean, the Seattle Seahawks team is just littered with guys, Richard Sherman, littered with guys who played West Coast and that were recruited just a couple of years ago by Pete Carroll. So Pete Carroll is extremely familiar with the young guys coming out of college, and it showed how deep their draft has been the last couple of years. I mean, do you remember how crazy everyone freaked out on the Seattle Seahawks for drafting Bruce Irvin in the first round?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now look at him. I mean, the guy had a great rookie campaign. He took maybe a step back this year, but you can't be the greatest defensive lineman on your team when it's the number one defense in the league every year. I mean, Seattle is just flooded with defensive superstars on all areas of football. So, and Pete Carroll knows his defense, man. And he has had an extreme advantage as having a close eye look at the collegiate level. And I think that we're going to see something similar with the Philadelphia Eagles with Chip Kelly knowing the collegiate level so well and coming from it.
Well, they really only signed three or four free agents. I mean, they got Richard Sherman in the fifth round.
That's what I mean.
And he was like a third round choice. They had him rated as high as second. You know, they, all of these guys, they're all like third, fourth, and fifth round guys. Mm-hmm. They got Bobby Averill, signed him as a free agent. He's been a blessing for sure. The kid that plays safety is a monster. He was a second round
pick.
Their
whole secondary is good.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson was a third round pick. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a Pro Bowl quarterback mm-hmm. in his second year.
Yeah.
And he's 23 or 4 years old. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Matt Flynn apparently he's like the Silver Surfer for good football teams and good quarterbacks. Flynn goes to Flynn was in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, you know, explodes. I don't know if Flynn really had anything to do with that, but we'll just say for the sake of argument. Then Flynn goes out to Seattle. Russell Wilson emerges. Flynn goes to Oakland, and they get Pryor, who you and I both liked in Oakland this past year and thought that Oakland took a big step forward. And now Flynn is obviously back in the Packer land. So
hey, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. This is Big Day Sunday. There's a... Listen, I went to, and I can say this, I went to 20 Super Bowls in a row. I spent mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've taken, you know, you name the Super Bowl since Operation Desert Storm, which was Tampa, which was the old Sombrero, which was the New York Giants and the Buffalo Bills. Mr. Norwood, Scott Norwood, mm-hmm. son of Del Norwood, who is a great, was a great baseball coach here in Northern Virginia, Washington Lee High School. Maybe, what, 5 feet right of the goalpost, 43-yard field goal, loses, and that would have won the game. Loses the game. Giants win. Jeff Hostetler, a backup quarterback to Phil Simms, is, I want to say he was MVP of the game. Hmm. It was a great game. It was warm. It's like 60 degrees, 65 degrees down
in
there.
Florida, yeah.
I took Stan Gelbaugh to that game. Stan Gelbaugh was the most valuable player of the World League of American Football. Played for the Buffalo Bills. Played for the Arizona Cardinals. Played for the Seattle Seahawks when Larry Kennan was the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And I want to say he got about 8 more years in the game after playing for the London Monarchs in the World League of American Football. Stan went down there with me. After that, I started taking people to events. Took Washington, crushed Buffalo. up in Minneapolis. Yeah. That's another cold weather place. And really, the people that went up there had fun, but there was a blizzard going on when we were up there.
Do you think that having the Super Bowl in a city like New York, where there is no dome, obviously Minnesota has the dome, but New York is New York.
Yeah, New York is a good place for visitors to go that have never been there.
Do you think they get another Super Bowl?
Do I think New York gets another Super Bowl? I think if New York wanted another Super Bowl, they could get one in 2 years. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We will be joined shortly by Sean Salisbury. You can follow him on Twitter, Sean Unfiltered. Before we get into his segment and his take on the Super Bowl, Bruce, I wanted to ask you about Peyton Manning's legacy and how big of a game this is for his legacy. Because, I mean, look, Peyton Manning has won a Super Bowl before, but with all the media around, you would have thought this guy has blown every postseason game he's ever played in. So how big of a game is this for Peyton Manning's legacy going forward, and will it change his legacy at all?
Oh, I think it absolutely will change if he gets the win. I don't see there's any way it doesn't change his quote-unquote legacy. I don't really like that word. Yeah. Peyton Manning right now, in my opinion, is one of the top two quarterbacks in the history of the game. You can keep Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. And if you look at Peyton's numbers, they're just going to go up. He's going to play two more years unless he's injured. Mm-hmm. And two more years is 10,000 more yards.
Yeah.
And it's also almost 100 touchdown passes.
If he keeps the current pace, yeah.
And he is a coach on the field. If he wants to be, will be a head coach in the National Football League. He'll be a general manager. He'll be an owner. He may just own a team and put everybody else to work that he loves underneath him, including his family. Mm-hmm. I just don't think you can compare anybody except Joe Montana to him.
No, I agree. I think Peyton Manning's one of the best.
And Joe Montana, you know, not to cut you off, I'm sorry, Roy, Joe Montana is, you know, he had the greatest team in the world around him.
I love
his
that
offensive
Papa
John's line
commercial.
Was phenomenal. His defense was always phenomenal. A lot of people don't talk about the San Francisco 49er defense, but they had Ronnie Lott. I mean, these guys had some of the best defensive players in the game. Mm-hmm. They just happened to be able to score 30 to 40 points a game, too. And had a guy named Montana that nobody could touch. And by the way,
they had the greatest receiver to ever play the game.
Do you know who Digger Phelps said was one of the best point guards he ever saw? Joe Montana.
I was about to say, I would go
Joe with Montana played basketball in high school and could have gone just about anywhere to play basketball, but obviously we're glad he went and played football. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy Edwards. Matt's on the box. We're waiting for Sean Salisbury to call in. You know, I'm not really sure what's going on around here. He may be very well trying to call in. Yeah, we're trying. You know, there's no telling. The weather's been funky here for days. But Sean he has a Prime Cut National Sports Show from 4 to 8 on Yahoo Sports. Mm-hmm. You can see Sean and follow Sean anytime at Sean Unfiltered. And he is one of the greatest minds, in my opinion, for what's going on in the NFL, not only now, but in years past. Because Sean was a very good quarterback. Played for the Minnesota Vikings the most I remember, and he's been with a few different teams. Sean is a phenomenal guy, and we're hoping that he calls in real soon. Let's talk just a little bit right now, though, about the Denver offense. Mm-hmm. and how they're going to move the football against this defense. A lot of people are thinking, you know, when you hear all these great things about Seattle and about their defense, you think that maybe, you know, Peyton isn't going to have a very easy time against him. And I agree with that. But if there's ever anybody that's going to be prepared for what they're going to throw at him, there's not. I don't think Seattle's going to try to fool him. They play that three deep zone, mm-hmm. and it's a matchup zone. Because all of their guys, including their safeties, can play press coverage. These guys are great one-on-one players. Mm-hmm. You know, even when I coached freshman football years ago with Galvin Morris at South Lakes, I wanted my kids playing man-to-man. Because when they play man, they learn how to cover people. They get up on them. They touch them. They grab them a little bit. When you play zone, kids, and that could be anybody the age of, you know, 8 to 28, they go to a spot and they just sit on it. And that's not how you cover people. You have to match up. And I think that the Denver does a good job with that. Champ Bailey is back. You know, Harris is out.
Is another guy they say they might retire after this.
Well, Champ's 15 years in the league. Yeah. That's a long time. Champ Bailey left Washington kind of in a huff. There's some stories going around that his wife had something to do with that. I actually talked to Champ back in the day, and they were telling me, and this could be true or not true, but I remember them telling me that in his contract he had to buy a box. Snyder made him buy a box. Hmm. I mean, that's $250,000 right there you have to pay or whatever they charged him back then. It probably wasn't that much back then, but it was close. I'm just saying, I don't like that. Then I've seen some other things. But Champ Bailey went to Denver. He was a virtual All-Pro every year. He was a great cover corner. He played next to Darryl Green. Champ Bailey ran like a 4.18 or a 4.19 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the famous trade for Clinton Portis back then.
Yeah, and that was basically because Mike, I think, wanted Clinton out of there because he was due for some money, mm-hmm. too. And Clinton Portis is Clinton Portis. When he came mm-hmm. to D.C., he was kind of hard to deal with.
Yeah, plus, Joe Gibbs was that he wanted to reestablish the Hogs. Remember, his second line around with Washington was the Dirtbags. So he wanted that running back.
Let's go to voicemail.
He wanted that running back. And honestly, Clinton Portis was that guy. He set Washington rushing records and nearly broke the Diesel's all-time rushing record with his franchise. So it's not like the Redskins didn't get anything out of the deal. And it was a good trade. Sure. And
hey, Sean, thanks for calling in, buddy. You there? Hey, Sean, thanks for calling in.
No problem, man.
Hey, listen, sorry. Yeah, we've been having some problems with our phone today. Sean Salisbury, ladies and gentlemen, Prime Cut National Sports Show on Yahoo Sports now at daily, right, Sean, from 4 to 8?
Yeah, 4 to 8 Eastern every day, you bet.
That's great. Now, are you in New York right now?
No, I flew back. I was having a party with my sons at Texas A&M. My girl and my sons at Texas A&M back in College Station, throwing a big party for my buddies and my sons and all their buddies, so... we'll have a great day today. I usually don't like watching the game in person. I've been to too many of them. I prefer to watch it on TV.
Sean, I've taken so many former NFL players and actually at the time current NFL players. I worked 20 Super Bowls in a row, and everybody pretty much left Sunday morning because, A, it's easy to get out of town on Sunday early because nobody's going the opposite direction, and, B, if they're not playing in the game, they don't want to see it. They'll watch it on TV somewhere else.
All the years I played, that was the case. I didn't want to be there unless I was in it. And then when I, you know, started working and doing all the ESPN coverage, I was there for a lot of them because we worked pre- and post-game show and had to do stuff at halftimes, all that. And then it's to the point where if you're watching it, it's hard to watch it while you're there because people want to talk and ask opinion and talk football. And it's just not that they're a distraction, but everything around you, it's just hard to watch, especially when you get your job is to talk football all week long and to break down the game, and I don't want to cheat somebody on a Tuesday saying, well, I missed that play because I was talking or going to the restroom. I don't like to do that. I like to watch every snap, every play, every comment, every timeout, every shot of the guys on the sidelines. When it comes to this game, I don't like to miss any of it because everything matters. Everything's heightened, the pressure goes up, every little move they make, when to call a timeout, when not to. Plus, I like commercials, and I don't want to miss those commercials either. I think that's right. Some of the best part of the game, and I don't like being with my sons on that day either, so it is it's become a tradition, so I prefer to watch it so I can actually break it down the following week properly, and it's easier to do watching on TV.
Well, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today and helping us out. Sean, let's talk about the game real quick. I've already broken it down a little bit. I've made my play. Who do you like, Sean, and why? You know, the number right now is 2.5. 70% of the dollars seem to be on the Denver Broncos. I like the fact that the over is a good hedge right now because everybody's on the under. Who do you like in this game and why?
Yeah, you know, I played my rookie year in Seattle, and I'm very fond of that place and the people there and the fans. I do believe that they're as good as there is in the league. And unfortunately for them, now there's a lot of them in New York for the game, and they lose out on that 12th man because it's not in their building, and that is an advantage. But the two best teams in football are playing. I mean, we didn't get cheated and say, unlike a college football, we don't have a playoff, we missed out, who should it be? We didn't get cheated on this one. This is the two best teams, and they've proven it week in and week out all year long. I'll make a couple things before I make my pick that people need to understand and look at. To me, that not a lot are talking about. It's a team that can calm themselves down early. I've talked to a lot of players that have played in this game and haven't been in playoff games and some big games. The quicker you can calm yourself, and it's underrated. It really is. The Seahawks have no players that have played in this game. The Broncos, I believe, 3. Especially the guy taking snaps, not that Russell Wilson is a poised because he is, but this can be overwhelming. It was overwhelming for Marshall Faulk, he told me. It was overwhelming for Troy Aikman, he told me. I mean, every single one of them said at some point of the standing on the sidelines before kickoff or even during, before it got rolling and got into it, they were hyperventilating, the guys that I've talked to. So it's not easy. And you try to make it just another game, but it's not. I mean, it's a life changer. People's lives have changed for the worse or for the better. And a lot of them will never get back. And they'll never forget this game. They'll never forget every single moment. And it's hard to, in the blink of an eye, it's over. And then people want to go back and do it again. And sometimes it's not there. And for those of us who didn't quite get to this game, close but didn't get to it, it's something that you still think about. I've been out of the league for a long time and I still think about it. So I think that's one. Who can settle themselves? We know the obvious, Marshawn Lynch, and can he run it? And can they pressure Peyton Manning? And the weather, I don't believe, is going to be a factor. I haven't heard just in the last hour, but, you know, forecast last night, look, there was in the 40s and normal, so that's obviously good for Denver. They can get the ball out of their hand and do it, and time of possession and all that will come into play, keeping it from Peyton, but I think it's important. And I think one of the biggest things about Seattle, if you wanted to disrupt Peyton Manning, Bruce, I would take a personal foul early in the game. I would.
We talked about that. Yeah,
you know, old school intimidation. I've been saying it all week long, and for the last couple of weeks, that I would set a tone, because if he gets out of rhythm or has his head on a swivel, it can be disruptive, not just him, for any quarterback. And I wouldn't allow him to settle in. And I don't mean take a cheap shot. I guess a late hit people would think is a cheap shot. I don't mean try to hurt him. I'm talking about when you got that second step and you're about to take that third step and hit him once the ball's loose and you lay off, hit him in the back. Take that shot with your shoulder pad in the back and take a 15-yard penalty. So now when he drops back, it's okay. It's going to be one of those kind of games. And if I was Seattle, I'd do it early. And I'd make sure it happened in the first series or two to send a message. So that being said, I picked Denver to beat San Francisco in August in the Super Bowl. San Francisco didn't quite get there. I think Seattle is the NFC's best team. But I just think Manning's too much. I picked Denver to win the Super Bowl in August to beat San Francisco, like I said. But I think Denver's going to win the game. I think it kind of favors what they're doing. I know the defense sometimes in this position takes over, but I like experience. It's not talked about enough, and I think the guy that's playing quarterback has just done too much. I got Denver 24-20, and I'm not so sure it can't be higher than that. It may creep up. If this game's in the teens, Seattle's going to win, I believe. But if this game gets over 20, I don't see how Seattle's going to score 28, 27, 28 points. I don't think their offense has that in them. They're going to have to do something special with a defensive turnover or a special teams play. I don't see them. Even though Denver's not a great defense, they're not an explosive offense. They like to pound it and grind it. And I don't see them hanging 4 touchdowns on the board against Denver. I just don't. And I think Denver can hang 3 touchdowns and a field goal or 2. So I got 24-20. I may be on the low side, but I think Denver wins by a little less than a touchdown.
Sean, I totally agree with you. Listen, I'd love to invite you back to stay for the next segment. Can you hold on for us?
Yeah, I got about, when I come back, I only got about 7 minutes.
Sean, that's perfect. I wanted to ask you a couple, and Roy's got a couple of follow-ups. We'll be back in a minute. With Sean at Sean Unfiltered, Sean Salisbury on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Hold on.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back on the air with Sean Salisbury talking about the Super Bowl. Sean, you mentioned that, you know, it would be a good idea probably for, you know, to let Peyton know that they're there. I totally agree. You remember when they played earlier this season, they played the Indianapolis Colts in Indianapolis, and they made, and I want to say Jimmy Irsay, I mean, a lot of people talk bad about Jimmy Irsay. There's a good side and a bad side to Jimmy. But the one thing Jimmy seemed to do that week was kind of force Peyton's hand at everything that happened, from, you know, the welcome back, all of the, you know, all of the different things they were doing for Peyton coming back. And then it just seemed to me like he was already exhausted. They nailed him in the end zone. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't you think he was hurt? I thought he was hurt right away. Because,
well, you saw the way the ball came out after that.
Yeah, it had to have hurt his shoulder / neck or something. And I see exactly what you're talking about, and I couldn't agree with you more. This is going to to be a physical game.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about it. Finesse doesn't usually win Super Bowls, and it doesn't win championships at any level. While you have to make finesse plays, physical always wins. And if you don't win at the line of scrimmage, it's the oldest cliche in the books, but it's true. A team, you can't play finesse and beat around the bush in a game like this. You got to just come at them. And while everybody says that's Marshawn Lynch, but you know what? That wouldn't be Denver. While they had a great year throwing the ball, they still were able to physically, in the playoffs, hand the ball to Marshawn Marino. They physically manhandled New England. And the Colts did the best job all year. They mauled the receivers at the line of scrimmage. They hit Peyton Manning. And I think in that game, it was the ankle that he injured the ankle where he couldn't drive off the back foot to throw it. It was right. His right ankle when he took that hit, because the ball was fluttering and they were fade throws out of bounds and never got into a rhythm with their short passing game and the short crossing, shallow crossing game. So, yeah, they're going to be hits, and you got to hit them. And Denver better do the same thing when it comes to hitting Lynch. You better greet him with more than one body at the line of scrimmage, and you better hit him, and you better keep hitting him. You better pound him and know that he's going to bring it for four quarters. And the key for them is to make sure you don't lose your discipline on keeping your outside arm free if you're a pass rusher, because the second you dip underneath, that's when Russell Wilson gets outside the pocket. I don't think they're capable right now of delivering the ball from the pocket for four quarters and beating Manning at his own game. I just don't think Seattle can do that. But are they capable of being Super Bowl champs? Yes. But I think they'll have to do it some other way. I don't think it'll be the basic, boring way. And in Super Bowls like this, Bruce, I'm telling you, go back and watch tape. You know this, but any of your listeners, boring football quarterbacks in a game like this win Super Bowls. Drop back. You saw Peyton do it against the Saints. They drop back in coverage. He checked it down. Check downs. 5 yards, 4 yards, 3 yards. Then they get impatient on defense, and you go over the top and hit the big play. But boring quarterbacks are Super Bowl champions. Guys who make the boring, everyday, elementary, curl, flat, slant route play and take a check down. It's the guy who gets impatient and forces it, like Kaepernick did last week or 2 weeks ago in the fourth quarter, and you saw the result. He throws two picks and laid one on the ground and probably should have thrown a third one, but it went through the guy's hands for a touchdown in the end zone. So if you cannot not make the boring play. If you make the boring play in this game, you'll be in it. If you can't, big plays or not, you won't win.
Roy has a follow-up, Sean, then we'll let you go.
I wanted to follow up on
something. No problem.
You talked about the storm, I guess, and how it's not another game, the Super Bowl. Obviously, it's not another game, but as much as the players want to say, you know, they're going to go through their regular routines, who's under more scrutiny and more under pressure? You have the Seattle Seahawks on one side, who I don't think a single player on their roster has ever been to a Super Bowl. And then you look at the Denver Broncos, and it seems the whole media storm this week has been about Peyton Manning and his legacy and the pressure that's put on him. So who's put on more pressure into today's game? Who's more set up, I guess, to come out with a quick start?
Well, I think that, to me, the pressures, they fall directly on Denver and Manning, the expectations. I mean, Seattle, I mean, they go out there and cut it loose. No guys in, no, they don't have a player that's been in the Super Bowl. And, you know, while they're a good team and there's pressure, hey, come on, it's the biggest game ever. There's pressure everywhere. Lives are going to be changed today. They just are. But I would say more pressure on Denver, and I think it's absurd. I really do. And I talked to Montana about that this week. I talked to Marino about that this week. And it's Super Bowl, and it amazes me that we actually believe. I talked to Archie about it. I said, doesn't it bother you that people out there still believe that this game has to solidify Peyton Manning's legacy? It's hogwash. It's crap.
Yeah.
Now, Peyton, I guarantee, grinds and wants to get the win because he feels the pressure and all the talk. But really, somebody's going to tell me the guy oh, this one game for 60 minutes is going to validate his career. Anybody that thinks that, they have absolutely no clue about football. But perception could be reality. That's the way the world thinks. And I know how Peyton is, and I know how competitive he is. He'll want to answer that. And would it all of a sudden say, okay, see, guys, you questioned me. I got my second one, and with all these stats, yes. And it does matter to him. But it's sad that any of us feel like he has to validate that. So I think Denver can settle in. And I think they'll settle in quicker, and it'll matter. But you know what? Sometimes being naive and inexperienced, maybe if you're in Seattle, you say, hey, we never been a game. Let's just go cut it loose, man. Because I guarantee in their mind, they're thinking, yeah, we can come back to this. Look how good we are. But not so fast. It's tough. Marino thought that too, and Dan never got back. So it's not easy to get here. Yet here's Peyton now at the end of his career. How many more of these will he get? We don't know. So I think the pressure and expectations and with the offensive numbers this season fall on Manning in Denver, but I think he can handle it. Guys, he's been under scrutiny since he was a high school kid, since he was at Tennessee. He's been in these games before. I think if anybody can handle it and understand it, he gets it. And I will say this in the end. You said, as I said, and you validated that by talking about try to treat it like another game. And it's hard to do. And you say, you know, the routine, but the truth is, you do want to be routine. And when Jerry Rice was talking to me this week, he said, you know what, I did the same things I do every time. He went to four of them, and his preparation was the same. And Brian Billick was talking about how Bill Walsh and Mike Ditka, he'd called on two or three head coaches when he got to his first Super Bowl in 2000 and said, what do I do? He said, put your game plan in on Sunday before and do not change it. He said, cause what you're going to do, you're going to go over it and put this in, pull this out, and then by the middle of the week, you're going to go back to the original game plan. So he wasted all that time and thought. He said, put fans Sunday in before the game and forget it. And that's exactly what he did. You know, Billick said, we were so confident. He said, we walked out of the field. He goes, Sean, I never had a question when I looked at their run offense. They can't run against us. He said, I knew when I walked on the field we were going to be Super Bowl champions because we prepared. We didn't change a thing. They made a few adjustments, but they went with what they do. So the key here is not to outthink yourself and go with, oh, my gosh, Super Bowl, I got to change all this. No. Line up and do what you do. That's what got you there every week, execution. Because if you outthink yourself, then pressure hits, and there's nothing worse than an unprepared thought process as a player. Because when you walk to the line of scrimmage, you want to react. You don't want a thinker. I think 6 days a week, and I play on the seventh. And that's exactly what these guys got to do. But stay the routine. Why would I change the week before this game? Then, and because you're just admitting to your players, oh, my gosh, we got to change. No, you do what you did NFC Championship, AFC Championship weekend. You do what you did in week three. Mm-hmm. You do what you did in week three. Joe Montana told me he did the same thing. He approached every game, preseason game, just like with regular season. I mean, when he was out on the field, it was a big game to him. So while it is not just a game, as we all know, and we'll be able to celebrate and Super Bowl parties all over the world watching, even though neither one of these, you know, team guys that aren't even in this game, team people who love their team and didn't get in. 49er fans are watching this. Patriots fans are watching this. That's why it's a big game. But settle in and stay the course and do what you do. When you quit trying to do what you do, that's when we'll find trouble. I do believe the Broncos can settle in quicker because I think number 18 is going to validate that he's had a monster year and a monster career with an MVP game today.
You know, I'm sure pulling for him. Sean, I can't thank you enough for calling in.
You're kidding me? I appreciate you guys, man. If you want to talk next week post,
hey, we
do that.
We love having you on, Sean, and I'm looking to get syndicated here before too long. When I do, I got to have you all the time. Sean Salisbury,
you
can follow him on Twitter, at Sean Unfiltered. You can listen to Sean Monday through Friday, Sean, right? Prime Cut National Sports Show, 4 to 8
on
Yahoo
Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, 4 to 8, Yahoo Sports Radio. Sean, thank you so much,
Thanks,
buddy.
Sean, enjoy the game.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great Sunday.
You too, man. Bye-bye now. Hey, I tell you what, they don't come any better than him. Mm-hmm. And I already knew the answer to the question, or I would have kept him on another 2 or 3 minutes. The thing I love about Sean is he can take an hour of facts and an hour of opinion, and he can put it into one segment. That's why I never open my mouth. It's like listening to Bob Wolf. I'd ask Bob, tell me the story about so-and-so. And I would sit and listen to him for 15 minutes because everything came out of his mouth was like, you know, Bible-ish. You know, if you believe in the Bible, Matt, sorry. Anyway, no, but anyway, I got to tell you. Oh, yeah, all right. Hey, anyway, I got to tell you, it was great hearing from Sean. Mm-hmm. Evidently, something was going on. We were having a little bit of a problem with our with our phones. It's okay because Roy and I like to talk
Too. Yeah. I think he hit he answered my question perfectly, and I feel like he pulled up a great point. Whereas these Seattle Seahawks, people have been using it as a negative that nobody on the team has been to a Super Bowl.
They're loose. There's no pressure on them.
There's nothing to lose. When you haven't. You're the young guy. You're the young, naive team who nobody's giving a shot.
Right.
I mean, even all three of our guests today have all picked Denver. You and I both have Denver. And all of the media storm, other than Marshawn Lynch not talking, is on Peyton Manning.
Which, and by the way, I'm going to give Deion props. That was the best interview,
it was a good interview
I've ever seen of a guy that didn't want to talk. Mm-hmm. Deion Sanders, I was getting ready to, because that whole day he was terrible. And then all of a sudden, he went down and found Marshawn and just got him to talk, gave him a hug. And let me tell you, Marshawn Lynch is Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm. He is a very shy, unassuming guy that does his talk on the field. There's a lot of reasons Marshawn's the way he is. Leave him alone. That's the way I look at it. His own teammates are the same way. They love him for what he is. They know if they give him the rock on Sunday, they're going to win if he doesn't fumble. Mm-hmm. And that's for sure.
And exactly to Sean's point, where he said what all those other players had said, how you just get into your routine. How much of your routine or Marshawn Lynch's routine is getting up on a podium and approaching the media?
They never do that.
Out of his comfort zone. None of it. So Marshawn Lynch is just doing what he always does.
NFL players on Monday don't do anything except look at film and go to the trainer.
Right.
On Tuesday, they're off. They don't even go in. Now, listen, the one thing Sean said that I loved, and I'm going to use it for the rest of the day, no matter what I'm doing. Lives are going to be changed today. That is incredible. And that is exactly what this event, this big game that they call the Super Bowl, is all about. Lives will be changed. We'll be back in a minute after I do this. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here. We're talking Super Bowl, obviously, because it's the big game today.
No, we're not.
I mean, if we want to talk
we're talking the big game.
Before the Olympic break.
We're not talking anything. Sorry, no soccer. Hey, we did talk about something soccer-related. Is Tony on the phone? Stay off that thing, then. We're expecting Tony Mazur, but if Tony doesn't call in, Tony doesn't call in. We love Tony, though. Tony's been doing stand-up comedy late into the night in the Cleveland. Cleveland hired themselves not only a head coach in the last 2 weeks, but our old boy got an offensive coordinator's job, Kyle Shanahan, and I told him to hire him. Yeah. The guy from Flying Z called me late one night and goes, I hear you've been saying some bad things about me. I said, yeah, well, you better hire this kid named Kyle Shanahan, or you're not going to have an offensive coordinator this year.
You know,
but he's going to be good, and they may draft Johnny Manziel.
You know what?
If they draft Johnny Manziel, he's going to turn him into RG3's first year.
Well, you know who is going to go to Cleveland now? Okay, so Kyle was in Houston, correct?
Right, right.
And then he went to Washington and brought whom?
Did Kyle bring?
Rex Grossman.
Yeah, Rex Grossman.
And now whose contract's up?
That's not going to happen.
Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Well, you think Kyle brings Rex Grossman to Cleveland to set up his offense?
I got to tell you one thing. He may just bring him as a backup slash coach.
Or Kirk Cousins came out today and said he wanted to be traded. Mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan loves his boy Kirk Cousins.
But they got that good rookie that they really like. And you know who else really likes him? The GM there likes him, and so does the
who? Cleveland?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. He got hurt in the second game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kid that they really like. But
was it Boyner?
Steny Hoyer. It's Hoyer, not Steny. We call him Steny because there's a guy. Hey, what is Steny Hoyer, like the whip, minority whip guy on Capitol Hill or something?
He's the Democratic minority whip.
I don't know
he's
anything
the about
him.
So I even he's the Democratic minority whip. Not wimp. Whip. They're all wimps. He's a whip.
So Seattle this year, this is a it's obviously not a home game, but it's not a true road game because you're not playing in Denver Stadium either. But road games this year, this Seattle defense hasn't been the crazy dominant defense that we saw like when they played New Orleans at home and just completely shut down the Saints passing attack.
But like Sean said, they're 6-2 on the road, and so is Denver, which means they're both pretty good on the road.
Right.
I don't think that's going to make any difference. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this.
They give up a lot more points on the road.
Yeah, but you know what it is in New York? It's grass. It's not turf. It's grass. So it's going to be a little different for them, and guess what? Denver's grass, too. It's not turf.
Right.
So it's not going to be good grass. It's going to be as good as they can get it grass. It's kind of very similar to the grass that they're selling legally. It's as good as they can get it. You know, I mean, what would you like? High test? Regular?
Seattle went on the road to Houston.
Yeah.
Houston put up 20 points, and it took overtime for Seattle to beat them. Okay.
That was in Houston, and that was at the beginning of the season, right?
Yep.
Now, who won that game?
Seattle in overtime.
Yeah.
But with a field goal.
And that was the start of that long losing streak
Houston
for Houston.
Should have won that, or I should have,
no,
but
I remember
had a chance to win that game.
I remember the game.
Then they went on the road to Carolina.
Right.
Carolina, that was a close game, too, 12-7.
Yep. That was a great game, and they won it late, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. Then they go to Indianapolis.
They get beat, right?
34 points.
Didn't they get beat?
Yeah, 34-28.
Let me tell you,
high scoring game.
Indy beat everybody. And you know, I'm seeing from a lot of different people that they're. Keep going. I don't want to interrupt you.
That's fine.
What was the next game?
Then they travel to Arizona. Our boy Jess Root, who we had on earlier today. Arizona puts up 22 points.
They get beat in that game.
34-22. Seattle wins that game.
Right.
That was the first of the two meetings. The next they go to St. Louis. I believe that was a Thursday night game, I believe.
Wasn't that a close game?
Yeah, very close. St. Louis kicks 3 field goals.
I remember
and was ahead most of the game, took a late touchdown from Seattle.
That might have been the game where their quarterback Bradford first got hurt.
I think it was.
Yep, I think it was too. So they lose their starting quarterback and barely lose.
Then they go on the road late in the season and take on a very beat-up Atlanta team. They handle business there 33-10, and they take – on San Francisco on the road, lose that game.
Yeah. Well, they actually led that game the entire game until right at the end.
19-17.
They kicked the field goal.
Yep. And then they go to New York in week 15 where they play today.
They crushed them.
And they
23-0.
Destroyed New York 23-0.
I remember that game. Yeah, and that's where they played. So they liked the stadium.
Mm-hmm. But my point of that was
New York.
They're not the same defense.
No.
On the road.
Well, when your crowd is decibly impact type crowd, where the louder they get, I mean, the other team can't even hear the snaps. They're going off silent count. They're going off all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. It makes a difference.
Still a great defense. Don't get me wrong.
And especially if you're playing press, because if you're playing press, the offensive the receivers aren't getting off of the line fast enough to even make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I still like Denver.
I like Denver.
I do too. I'm probably, you know what? That is a setup. That's almost a trap game. Because Denver -2, 2.5, boy, it's hard not to like them.
Yeah,
but 70% of the dollars are on who?
Denver.
Well, makes me wonder, you know, the boys don't like to lose in Vegas.
How much of that do you think?
That would ever fix a
would
game.
Would that make you want to go for that lights out bet earlier?
No, absolutely not.
How much of that 70%, though, is people playing with not necessarily their minds but their hearts and wanting Peyton Manning to get that second Super Bowl?
Well, it's almost... I'd say half of it.
It has to be.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you right now, if they played it in this is a neutral site. If they played this in Seattle, Seattle would be a 3-point favorite. 3.5-point favorite. And you know what? I'd take Seattle. because I don't know. The noise would have to bother Peyton a little bit. Mm-hmm. Although he is a guy, you know, he almost pulled it out in Indianapolis, even when he got hurt.
Yeah.
Because it was loud there. They were really cheering against Mr. Peyton Manning in Indianapolis.
Denver, I went through all the Denver away games, too, to try to compare the offense of Peyton Manning on the road versus at home. And they're the same offense. I mean, that offense was ridiculous this year. They put up points everywhere. And just for the sake of comparison, we did compare when Seattle was last in New York in this stadium. They won 23-0. Last time Peyton played in this stadium, because they did play in New York this year, they beat Eli and the Broncos. Eli and the Giants, they beat them 41-23. So both teams were on their A game playing last time they were in MetLife Stadium. The top defense in the league shut out the Giants. The top offense in the league put up 41 and just killed it.
It's gonna be a great game. And the thing I like about this game is there probably won't be Tony Mazur is calling in. Tony.
Yes, this is he.
What's up, buddy? I didn't wake you up, did I? Did you do stand up late into last night?
I only did one set based on there was like time constraints and everything. It was a sold out show. They didn't want the young kids to take up too much time.
Well, you went out first, right?
Yeah, I was out the first night. Did a little stand up. Talked to the club owner. He said the club owner is pretty tough, but he said you were not too bad.
Well, not too bad. Not too bad means you're allowed to come back and do it again. Last time I checked. Hey, Tony.
Well, exactly. Well, you know something that's interesting, and you see the amount of knee injuries that happened in the NFL this year. I think it said it went up 47%. There were ACLs, PCLs, LCLs, whatever. The Browns had a lot of LOLs this year.
That was good. I like that. I even laughed at that.
So, Tony, we're going to get into your Super Bowl pick here in a second, and let me just set the stage for you. As we have had three guests on here today, Jess Root, Sean Salisbury, Russell Baxter, and if you include the other two guys in the room here, Bruce and I, 5-0 on the Broncos.
We're doomed. We're doomed.
Okay, and you have been the guy who has repeatedly come on this show and picked against us and won repeatedly.
This is it again.
And I feel like you're here today to burst our bubble. Is that true? Are you picking the Seattle Seahawks?
No, I'm going to burst your bubble and say I'm going to go against the grain here and go for Denver. I got Denver. My prediction, I'm going 38-24.
Wow. You know, I hope you're right. And I like the over as a hedge too, Tony, because it's going to go over. It's just got to go over. I see Peyton coming out. I see them getting maybe the first 14 to 17 points of the game. You know, Seattle coming back, trying to keep it close. Maybe Denver jumping way out in the third and then it coming down to the last two or three drives in the fourth quarter. I don't think that the clock is going to stop that much, only for those, you know, $4 million 30-second commercials that we're going to be watching.
Oh, of course.
Can't wait.
I've been so, is it the Super Bowl coverage has been so oversaturated. I'm looking forward to the halftime show, looking forward to the game itself, but I'm not, I haven't turned the TV on. I don't really, the whole just, breaking down everything, and Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch doesn't like talking to the media, and Peyton Manning and his Papa John's commercials. It's like, oh my God, I'm just at 6:30, I'll turn it on.
Hey, you know, the thing I like to watch at Super Bowls, and I went to 20 of them in a row, is I like to see how long it takes them to put the stage together and tear it down. Do you know what the number is? 4 minutes. They get the stage.
Really?
They get the stage put up in 4 minutes. They tear it down in 4 minutes. It's the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen in your entire life. After that, everything was anticlimactic. Let's talk real quick because we're running out of time already. Unfortunately, we're at the 56 or 57 number. Tony, you have a new offensive coordinator. I was half right in Cleveland. You got one of the Shanahans, but you got the good one.
Well, that and on top of Kirk Cousins apparently says he wants to get traded.
I
don't know if you guys heard that one.
I just said that there's a possibility that either Rex Grossman or Kirk Cousins is going to end up in Cleveland because Kyle Shanahan is notorious for when he moves around, he brings a quarterback with him because his offensive scheme is so complicated that he needs someone who knows.
Tony Rex was his roommate for 2 years in Texas. Mm-hmm. They were roommates. And hello.
And then they came to Washington and dated.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hey, listen, Tony, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Your new coach is a good defensive Pettin, and I like. I mean, I think he's going to be fine. But who is the defensive coordinator? Who did he hire?
His name is Jim O'Neill. I think he was the linebackers coach at the Buffalo Bills. And then they have a quarterbacks coach and a bunch of other people from the Buffalo Bills. I'm like, you know, because if I'm looking to build my franchise, I'm picking a coach from the Buffalo Bills who have not been to the playoffs since Wade Phillips and the Music City Miracle.
How many games
the
did they win?
Have been to the playoffs since then.
Did they win 4 games this year, Buffalo? Weren't they 4-12?
They were 6-10.
Okay, well that, you know, let me just say this. They were a very good 6-10 team because their numbers weren't bad. Their schedule was brutal.
Did they beat the Patriots this year?
I know they always beat the Patriots once, but I don't think they beat them this year.
They were in it early, and I remember it was an early game, and they were in it, and it came down to the wire. They might not have won it, but regardless.
Tony, what's the score going to be of the Super Bowl? What are you predicting the final score will be?
I said 38-24.
Who's your MVP?
38-24 Denver.
That, you know, I love that number. I hope they get 38 points.
Who's your MVP?
I hope they get them in the first half too. They'll take the pressure off of Mr. Hall.
I'm going Peyton with the MVP, and the reason I of course you got to go with Peyton, but I saw what Peyton did to that Patriots team, and it wasn't dink and dunk, but it was like 8-yard passes over the middle. I don't think they're going to stop Wes Welker. Going to end up opening up the field.
They're going to ear hole him. He's going to wobble off the field right away. But, you know, they're going to do the same thing to Percy Harvin.
Does Sean Moreno cry during the national anthem?
Yes, he always does.
Right. Plus 500,
plus
you
500.
Won. Tony, thanks so much for being on. Tony Mazur from Cleveland, everybody. We'll be back next week with Bruce Hall's second opinion. Enjoy the big game in New York, people.